Hi, this is P.W. Fenton. This is a reissue of an older digital flotsam originally published in March of 2005, but it's really more appropriate to the start of summer and the coming Independence Day holiday than it is to March. I've done a little remixing to get rid of the bits of RIAA-controlled music it originally contained, and I don't think I heard it at all. So here, with the new theme song, is the first digital flotsam reissue. Hello and welcome to the one-pound edition of Radio Free Radio's Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. It's a show about growing up, and it's a show about how we learn to be cynical. The significance of the one-pound label will eventually be clear, but for now, let's just say that this will be Digital Flotsam's most explosive edition ever. I grew up in New York, New York. When I was growing up, just like now, fireworks were illegal. Illegal to sell, illegal to possess, illegal to fire off. However, when I was growing up, there were more fireworks available in New York City than any state I've ever been in since, including places where they are totally legal. When I was around 11 years old, someone in my class announced that Pete Matheson's dad was going to be selling fireworks out of his garage. A detailed price list was included. Firecrackers by the brick, ash cans, cherry bombs, M80s by the gross, bottle rockets, Roman candles, and various sizes of aerial rockets by the dozen, and a multitude of individual treasures, all priced individually. I lived on the poor side of town, so the best I could do was order some ordinary firecrackers using money I had saved up by not buying lunch. My buddies, who all lived on the hill, the more affluent part of town, drew up far more glorious orders with Pete's dad. All this took place in late May, in anticipation of the 4th of July. We probably couldn't have told you anything about why July 4th had any significance in American culture, other than that was when we fired off various forms of loud and or beautiful explosives. When I say that there were more fireworks available in New York City than anywhere else, it's not an idle statement. Ordinary firecrackers are manufactured in the Orient, and they consist of a little bit of explosive powder tightly wrapped in ordinary newspaper with a wick inserted and a colorful outer wrapping paper. When they explode, they send a tiny shower of newspaper shreds to the ground. A single firecracker and this debris would hardly be noticeable, but in New York City in the late 1950s, the day after July 4th, there would be so much of this Chinese and Japanese newspaper debris on the streets, it would blow around like snowdrifts. I am not exaggerating.
Independence Day is all about freedom. Family and beer and barbecues. Not wanting to wait till the sun goes down. to set fire to my first bottle rocket fuse. So I blew up my nephew's Pokemon. I guess I should have known he'd be pissed off as me when my brothers blew up my G.I. Joe. But I blame beer and fireworks, an old family tradition. Beer and fireworks on the 4th of July. I can still hear Mama shouting out from the kitchen, don't mix beer and fireworks or you're gonna shoot out your eye. The keg began to float and the sky grew dark. So we brought out the boxes we bought across state lines. I still don't know which one blew up in my face. Cause tried to light so many at one time. Through my one good eye, the ER looked like MASH to me. Soldiers wounded by cherry bombs, M80s and barley. I'm talking about beer and fireworks, an old family tradition. Fireworks on the 4th of July. I can still hear Mama shouting out from the kitchen, don't mix beer and fireworks or you're gonna shoot out your eye. Yeah, beer and fireworks, an old family tradition. Fireworks on the 4th of July. I can still hear Mama shouting out from the kitchen, don't mix beer and fireworks or you're gonna shoot out your eye.
For an 11-year-old, the days leading up to the 4th of July were almost intolerable. Each of us had stashed a tantalizing assortment of illegal fireworks lying in wait for that magical day when, despite their illegality, everyone in the city would get away with blowing them up and shooting them skyward. No one anticipated the coming July 4th, 1959, more than my friend Ralph. Ralph was one of those kids who lived on the hill. He was one of those guys who managed to get anything they wanted. If we all needed money for something at school, Ralph had it first. If there was some sort of fashionable new clothing article that was hip to wear, Ralph had it first. Well, this year, through some unknown means, Ralph had obtained enough cash to order from Pete's dad a 1-pound rocket. None of us had ever even seen a 1-pound rocket. We couldn't even imagine it. It was the greatest fireworks order any kid had ever ordered. This was going to be the most incredible 4th of July ever. When the 4th of July was still a week away, the fireworks began. Every day, with increasing regularity, you could hear firecrackers going off somewhere nearby. My personal fireworks stash contained about 10 individual packages of ordinary firecrackers. I couldn't afford a brick like the other kids were buying, so I had to buy individual packs. And while other kids might light their firecrackers a whole package at a time, I would only fire them off one at a time to make them last longer. Ralph's stash contained several bricks of firecrackers, Roman candles, bottle rockets, sparklers, a gross of cherry bombs, a gross of ash cans, and of course, a single 1-pound rocket. Ralph had no problem raising the money. His parents handed him money without question, anytime he said something like, "Hey, Dad, I need $50 for school." Sure, Ralph's dad would always say something like, "What do you think, I'm made of money?" But in reality, he was, in my eyes, because it always worked. Ralph always got whatever he asked for, no questions asked. About a week before the 4th, we all went to Ralph's house. We usually went to Ralph's house on most days anyway, because Ralph had a special relationship with his mom that none of the rest of us guys had. Ralph could sit on his front steps and just yell, "Ma, make us some Kool-Aid!" And within minutes, Ralph's mom would be standing in the doorway with a pitcher full of Kool-Aid, cups, and ice for everyone. At that point, Ralph might say, "I don't like the green kind. Make the red kind." And Ralph's mom would roll her eyes, disappear, and reappear moments later with a fresh pitcher of red Kool-Aid. None of the rest of us would have ever gotten away with talking to our mothers like that. If we were lucky and asked nicely, maybe our mothers would allow us to make some Kool-Aid and take it outside to our friends. Personal curb service was simply not available. But today, we were not at Ralph's house to enjoy his parents spoiling him. In fact, Ralph's parents were not at home that day. We were there to see the rocket. The 1-pound rocket. Ralph made a big production out of making us wait. He kept going into the house and then coming out empty-handed, saying it wasn't quite ready yet. We thought he was just having fun at our expense, but he wasn't. He was waiting for paint to dry. Ralph had carefully constructed a wooden launch pad, specially designed to hold the one-pound rocket pointing skyward. When he brought it outside, in front of the house, it gleamed in the sun. It was painted bright red. It shined like glass because Ralph had used the kind of enamel paint that came in those little square jars for painting plastic models. It was magnificent. For a while, we just sat on Ralph's front steps, just staring at it in awe-struck silence. Then somebody spoke and said, "Where's the rocket?" "It's inside," answered Ralph. I don't want to bring it outside where somebody might see it and tell my parents." "Nobody's home. Not your parents or the neighbors," we protested. "We'll never get a better chance than this." Ralph shrugged. He knew we were right. And besides, he was more than just a little bit proud of his rocket and launch pad. He wanted us to be envious. So he went inside to get it. He emerged from the front door, cradling the rocket in his arms like an infant. He walked slowly along the cement walkway towards the sidewalk and carefully set it into the custom-made launch pad that waited at the end of the walkway. We all stepped back and just drank it in. It was magnificent. It was the biggest, fattest rocket any of us had ever seen in person. The business end was about the size and shape of a 16-ounce Pepsi bottle. It was dark blue and dull, in sharp contrast to the bright and shiny red launch pad. We stood silently as Ralph detailed his plans to build an electric igniter for the fuse so that he could just throw a switch to light it. Eventually, we all just sat on the front steps and stared at it at the end of the walkway. We just had to be there when this thing was finally shot off on the night of the 4th. At that moment, it seemed like 1 week was going to be an eternity. This was truly going to be the greatest 4th of July ever. As we stared at this wonderful object sitting at the opposite end of the walkway that led up to the stairs we were sitting on, we never saw the police car that swung around the corner onto Ralph Street, only one block away. We never noticed it pull right up in front of Ralph's house. Only the slight squeal of the tires as it stopped abruptly made us lift our gaze. It was too late. Had we seen it come around the corner, we all would have instantly started running. All we could do now was stare slack-jawed as the door to the passenger side of the patrol car opened. We were done for. We were going to be arrested. Our parents would find out about our fireworks. We were dead meat. A huge policeman clambered out of the car and walked towards us. He seemed to be smiling. He stopped at the end of the walkway, bent down, picked up the 1-pound rocket, turned on his heels, got back into the car, which drove away down the street. Not a word was spoken. He had simply stolen our 1-pound rocket. And there was nothing in the world we could do about it. Somehow, it was even meaner that they left us with the launch pad. It just sat there, reminding us of the 4th of July we almost had. We all gave a dejected Ralph a pat on the shoulder as we filed past him on our way home. We had lost a lot more than just a 1-pound rocket that day.
You have been listening to Radio Free Radio's Digital Flotsam. The story of the 1-pound rocket was based on true events in my youth. We heard music by Hank Marr, Jim Paquette, John Philip Sousa, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, and Igor Stravinsky's version of the U.S. National Anthem. As always, send comments to P.W. Fenton at digitalflotsam.org.
And P.W. holded the microphone.